The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perra columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're catching up with Variskin. Code is VAR, trading on the ASX at 3.1 cents for a market cap of around 8.2 million. Now, Variskin has other interests, but since 2019, its focus has very much been on zinc in northern Spain. The zinc focus has been well timed too, with the galvanizing and increasingly green metal a star performer on the price front in the last couple of years. Zinc rose 32% in 2021 to an average of US$1.36 a pound and is now trading at US$1.64 a pound, which is a 21% improvement on the 2021 average. So historically, a long-run zinc price of around $1.10 a pound is a good place for all involved. So clearly, it's a case of happy days are here for the zinc producers and explorers. Now, we have Variskin CEO Stuart Dixon with us today to fill us in on the company's story. But before introducing Stuart, I'll just mention here that Variskin is a very lightly capitalized explorer with pure leverage to exploration success in its Spanish zinc hunt, in and around historical operations that were all high-grade producers of the metal in their day. So with that, it's g'day, Stuart. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Barry. Good to join you.
Right. Now, Stuart, could you give us, the listeners, a bit of a overview of the 2019 entry into Northern Spain projects, just what you picked up, the nature of the deal?
So 2019 was a transformational year for the company in acquiring what we believe to be two extremely high-quality, high-grade zinc assets in Spain. They are both former producing areas, both regionally, and also the projects are centered on former producing mines. So we have the adage, past production, future potential. So the projects were significantly de-risked, but we still believe there to be significant upside and future potential from them. So two projects. The first one is in the north of Spain. That's the Navalas Udias project. That's in the region of Cantabria. It's not a region that's well known for many things other than for a little bit of agriculture, fishing, and Santander Bank. But actually what it is also a extremely high quality zinc ore field, which was home to the Rio Sin mine, which was one of the world's largest MVT deposits operated by Xstrata up until 2003. So that had a resource of over 60 million tons at 7% zinc and 1% lead. So really great address to be in, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about that in detail as we go on. The second project is Guajaraz. This is an hour south of Madrid in Castilla-La Mancha region, which is right in the center of Spain. And again, that's more of a polymetallic, but again, zinc-rich deposit. And that's centered on the former La Union mine. And again, has significant historical resources and mining activity in that area. But we're very clear, our primary focus is in the north on the Navalas Udias project.
Mm. Now, I mentioned the move in 2019 into the zinc project in Spain, very nicely timed given what's happened with the zinc price since. I'm just wondering, given the production history of these operations in the past, very high grade, obvious benefits to be had from some modern day exploration, looking for both extensional positions and new deposits. How was it that a company of your size was able to snare that deal?
Well, I think we were right at the vanguard of what was a change in approach regionally in Cantabria. The government changed land use laws. They opened up a tender, and private equity group actually saw that, and we did the deal with them subsequently. And I think what you're seeing there in the north was a realization that, hey, mining has brought prosperity to this region historically. It's in our DNA. Mm-hmm. And now that there's a realization that supply chains are more vulnerable, Europe needs more metal. Europe needs more supply, local supply of metal. And so, good old-fashioned entrepreneurialism in the junior sector allowed that deal to happen.
Neat one. Okay, let's stick in the north. The focus seems to be very much on Novalis, where there's, I get a sense, there's a twin focus. There's both a sense of near-term development opportunities, I guess, from remnant ore or unmined positions at the end of when the mine was closed, and also regionally, a bit more regionally, potential for discovering big new deposits.
That's right. There's a twin strategy to drive growth and value. But all of that stems from the overarching strategy for ourselves to reignite zinc production in northern Spain and to resource the energy transition that we're seeing not only in Europe but around the world. And so we have a clear strategy to supply zinc, which is a critical metal. Mm-hmm. And that's been classified as such now by many authorities. So let's just deal with the production side of life first of all. The Novales Udias project is centered around the San Jose mine. We've been exploring the San Jose mine now extensively for what is a couple of years. We've had two successful drill campaigns. Our maiden underground drilling campaign was launched last year. Sorry, was announced last year, around about 12 months ago, where we had some absolutely stellar results, which saw a huge climb in share price and really demonstrated the fact that, yes, there is remnant ore here. Yes, we have found lower lying lenses within the mine. So the mine was drilled actually upwards into a hillside rather than down. Mm-hmm. And we found additional ore pockets. So that was a great win. We followed that up with a second campaign. We've produced, again, more high-quality results. And if you look at our last set of underground drilling results, there's kind of 4.5 meters at 22% zinc, 6 meters at 10% zinc, 11 meters at 5% zinc. So, it's undeniable that there's still ore in this in San Jose. And that's really now going to be the focus of seeing what the potential for that could be to bring that back in production. And that's looking at what kind of numbers we can put around the potential resource inventory there. And then also looking at kind of a concept study to what would it take to bring that back into production? Because a lot of the mine development is in great shape. And I can say that because I walked it all yesterday, having just flown back overnight. It's in great shape. It's all in situ, and we're going to seek to leverage that, and that's the plan for early stage production. The second limb of our strategy is seeking a significant regional resource akin to Rio Sin. Rio Sin is only 9 kilometers from our project area, and we are fulfilling that strategy again with a recent announcement that we have commenced a surface drilling campaign over some of that exploration package, as we call the Buena Hora area. And that's, again, off the back of very successful exploration, having announced a really successful geophysical survey, which just really highlighted some of the scale of mineralization potential in and around not only the former mine area, but also in the wider area too. So, exciting times for us in how we're delivering that twin strategy.
Well, just in the broader area, greenfields, for want of a better expression, has there been much exploration in recent decades looking for another San Jose or a Recon?
So the answer is no. I mean, I think I wrote in the press release that the exploration area package of Buena Hora has not been drilled for over 3 decades. Right. That strikes me that it's severely underexplored. There are small scale workings over this area, multiple small scale workings, very shallow, broadly unsophisticated. So again, we're seeing, you know, possibly a read across from what we're seeing at San Jose, that, you know, perhaps the easy, shallow lying ore has perhaps been exploited in some way, but in no way do we believe that this ore field has been fully depleted, and our exploration results are proving that. So, you know, we've seen plenty of upside, underexplored area, but at the same time quite de-risked, because we know that folks were able to exploit this reasonably successful at much lower metal prices. And I know you're probably going to touch on that as we progress.
Mm. If we move down to south of Madrid at the other project, whose name I won't try and pronounce again, the polymetallic brownfield play. What's the story there? Are you doing much work there, or are you still very focused up north?
Yes, we have like all smaller companies, you have to be really focused with your capital and resource allocation. And so we have unashamedly focused on Novalis, because that's where we see greater potential, lower risk, and being able to deliver it more quickly. I hope most people would agree that's logical. At the same time, though, we have been quietly getting on with a lot of the more rudimentary parts of exploration, you know, the mapping, some of the sampling side of life with soils and geochem, with rock chip sampling, and they've all turned back great results. We have our license renewal pending in that area, and whilst it's pending, we still have the benefit of a valid license, and you know it's all written in law that this will be renewed. So we're just waiting for that formality to happen. We do have ambitious plans to also conduct a geophysical survey down there, and we expect that to highlight and illuminate the potential of that wider area as it has done in the north. And then we have plans to drill it going forward as well. There's unashamedly, you know, it's going at a slower rate than we are in the north, but we see, you know, building a portfolio of you know, zinc lead assets to be really exciting. So more on Guajará's to follow, but well positioned.
Okay. Spain as a place for a ASX listed junior to be spending exploration dollars. How are you finding it? Any particular challenges?
Well, it's easy to talk about the challenges in any project, but I'd rather talk about the benefits of being in Spain, because I do think it's overlooked as a mining jurisdiction. It's been classified as one of the most important mining areas for critical raw materials globally, and that's not my analysis. That's some German work that's been done, and they're pretty good at analysis. It's one of Europe's largest copper producing countries. It's obviously attracted global investment dollars from the likes of Sandfire acquiring Matsa in a $1 billion deal last year. You know, you have many other global producers such as Lundin, First Quantum, all operating in Spain. So, you know, it's a proven mining jurisdiction in my mind. That said, there are some challenges, like all jurisdictions, and let's be upfront about it. We're in Europe, and Europe, for many decades, made a conscious decision to shift away from mining, in particular coal mining, and that's what really led it. And so I do fear that some of the historical backdrop has been tarnished with the quite right shift away from coal production in some of these areas. And what you're seeing now is very much a resurgence of a positive policy environment. And I mentioned that some of the laws have been changed to specifically encourage exploration in Cantabria. But what I should also point out is that the decision making and policy around mineral resource exploration in Spain is devolved to the regions. So what we're doing in the north, it's not always analogous to what's happening in the south or the east or the west. And so, you know, we all know that certain companies have had their own particular challenges for various different reasons. And they could be geographical, they could be commodity based, they could be all sorts of different reasons behind it. So one needs to look on a stock specific issue rather than generalizing around Spain. That said, We found it, you know, I've been in and out of the government buildings in Santander in the north with an extremely progressive relationship with them. We have got the permits that we require, but that has taken longer than we would expect to. And that, frankly, that's a lack of match practice. Yeah. There's no two ways to say it. They would admit it themselves. You know, we haven't done this for a while, and, you know, we've got to get everybody on the journey with us. And that includes a very high environmental standard, and we're okay with that. Yeah. That's about responsibly mining. Europe, you know, policymakers, bureaucrats, they recognize that, you know, a relocalization of mining is required and will need to happen in these countries and in these regions. So, and that's being led by the European Union themselves. And so actually what you're seeing now is what was probably a fairly, you know, clunky, not sure approach to mining, you know, hesitant approach to mining possibly in the past, certainly seeing now very much people recognizing the importance of ethical supply, security of supply, the economic benefits of being a responsible miner in these areas. And we're benefiting from that. There's no two ways about it. You know, our social license is fantastic. You know, I stopped in the local shops yesterday, see the mayor, you know, hi, you know, it's all great. And particularly in the regions where we're operating or the villages which we're operating in, the mining culture is in their DNA. They're used to mine. And they're the first people to say, hey, my grandfather worked in that mine. You know, we've still got some of the pictures. And, you know, when can we have some jobs? You know, is there anything we can do? We'd like to be part of the supply chain, part of your labor force. So, you know, there's very much a resurgence in mining. And I think particularly at the smaller end as well, you're going to see that probably be more successful than huge, large open pit style operations, which you may be more familiar with, you know, in Australia and Canada in particular.
Yeah, okay. I guess we should talk about zinc. What's your view? I've mentioned the stellar price performance the last couple of years. What do you see driving that, and is it sustainable?
we picked it perfectly, didn't we? But, you know, actually, I mean, I've been a big fan of zinc for many years before that. And, you know, I think we're seeing a number of, you know, macro factors which have all driven into a high zinc price. You know, predominantly it's around refined zinc. Reduced output. You know, you're seeing a shortfall of 300,000 tons of refined this year. That's the second consecutive year of deficit. And what's happening is European smelters in particular have crunched output because of power prices, right? Mm. And Europe accounts for around 15% of global zinc refining capacity. So it's significant. Particularly what we're seeing up here, but obviously there's a wider global factor here. And you know, when I think about that refining capacity, you know, I should point out that the world's second largest zinc smelter, San Juan, owned by Glencore, is only 80 k's away from Nevada's project, and actually had the benefit of being hosted by them earlier in the year. So, you know, the refined side's interesting. I don't see it changing. Actually, I think high energy prices in this part of the world are here to stay, at least for the short to medium term. And so I would consequently expect to see price remain elevated, particularly as I see on the demand side, that continue to perform strongly with, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the piece, you know, zinc increasingly having exposure to the energy transition theme, particularly around its usage in renewables, increasingly around batteries and battery storage. So, we were trading close to 15-year highs despite a full pipeline of concentrate, and I'll talk about the production side in a minute. So, you know, that for me bodes well that there is pent-up demand for zinc. On the production side, you know, 4% recovery post-COVID last year. We're looking at 2020 similar output growth outside of China of 4%. So zinc, there's plenty of zinc concentrates knocking around broadly. I think you've got to look where they're coming from and the price of how they're being produced. Certainly, although, you know, because you have seen a little rise in treatment charges, you know, up to around $230 per ton from $160 in 2021. So, you know, that tells me that, you know, there's plenty of production to meet that demand. But remember, we've also got very low inventories, and, you know, inventories have certainly fallen around 60-70% in this part of the world as well. So it's a very good time to be exposed to zinc. We're very happy with it. And frankly, that's what's driving me to look at early stage cash flows. You know, it's nuts to sit here and watch a very high price environment pass you by because you're so focused on jumping through some of the normal exploration steps. So, you know, we're prepared to think different, act differently to try and exploit a very favorable pricing environment.
Okay. Now, you've got a lot on the go. How's the company off for cash?
So last reported cash in our quarterly just gone was just a smidgen over $3 million. So current drilling campaign, some of the workflows that I've alluded to is fully funded. No two ways about it. And you know, we're very mean with our cash in certain places, which is a good thing. And you know, we'll be looking to deliver on what I've said. You know, the surface drilling. We're pregnant with assays from San Jose, and you know, as I said, we'll be moving into trying to produce some kind of estimates around scope and scale of the potentials of the projects that we have, and I think there'll be value levers, you know, should be favourable for what we want to do going forward. So yeah, we're in a good space, positioned for more news, more growth. And I think it's I'll say it if you won't, you know, hideously undervalued stock when you look at the market capitalization and then the EV after you deduct cash. It, you know, these are just great entry prices for folks who are looking at this story.
Yeah, I was wondering when I was looking at the company and then switched across to see what the market cap was, and the thought occurred to me that if this was, I don't know, in North Queensland or those zinc areas in WA, the market cap would be a multiple of what it is. So there's a disconnect here, I guess, between the market. Perhaps it's because of the Spanish location, but as you pointed out, Oz Minerals has just spent more than $1 billion there buying the Matsa project. So there's a disconnect, and as you go through, you touch there that you'll eventually get to the resource position, then the scoping studies and into production. I guess the re-rating will occur some point along the line.
Well, it should. I mean, there is a disconnect. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, there's broadly a disconnect between equities and commodity prices, I think, more widely. So I think, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, poor me. But I think when you look at Veriskin as a specific stock, you know, we've delivered on everything. I challenge anybody to see where we failed to deliver in everything that we said we'd do. Grade is king. I'm sure that's one of your mantras. I think I've heard you say it. And you know, we've got high grade deposits, so there is an opportunity. There is a disconnect, and you know, perhaps there are some perceptions about Spain. But I have a very simple offer to anybody who's listening, or you know, is talk to me. Come visit. I was actually hosting a mining engineer this week. I've got more mining engineers coming from Australia actually next week on site. You know, so if you want to know more about what it's like, don't read about it, hear about it, see it. And so we're open for business for that. And, you know, we're trying our best to bring it to life visually in a virtual sense as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Fascinated by the upside that looks to be ahead of the company, particularly with those sort of grades and the historic credentials of these projects. So we'll be watching with interest, and wish you best luck with it all. So thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Barry. Really enjoyable.